Yes, Heavenly Father, we do praise you for who you are, God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you, Father, for your will in creating and in establishing this world and us in it. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for your death and resurrection for our sins, that you are the risen Lord, ruling one day to return. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for the gift that you are to us as your people. And we pray, please now be at work, God, in us. Help us to hear and shape us by your word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to now turn to our Bible readings from 1 Timothy.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of our God, our Saviour, and Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God and the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay here in Ephesus, so you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made by you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, which have some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have handed it over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished by the truths of faith and the good teachings that have followed. Nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness had value in all things, holding promises for both the present life and life to come. This is the trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labour and strife, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is our Saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bill. If I can invite you to have 1 Timothy 4 open in front of you. Throughout January, we're setting ourselves to grow in godliness. And for good reason. Verse 7 there, we heard it there. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. Lots of you are committed to physical exercise. You go for a walk around the block, or you get out in the garden. Some of you overdo it in the garden. Some of you could be more committed to physical exercise. But I think all of us have a general kind of, we've picked up the message, haven't we? A bit of exercise is good for us. So let me encourage you, because the scriptures say physical training is of some value. But here's a stunning thing. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise both for the present life now and for the life to come. This is amazing. As God by his Spirit reshapes you, molds you in his mold, the image of Christ, the new you that he's making with new desires and new habits and new graces, that's the you that we'll know for eternity in God's new creation. Godliness has value not only for the present, but for the life to come. So by all means, get some physical exercise, but don't miss growing in godliness. So our prayer for this series, as we in January, our prayer is simply, God, teach us, grow us in godliness. And of the many verses in the Bible that teach godliness, that help us to sort of think, what does that look like practically? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 is the verse we're going to, with its five different aspects of the godly life. The older minister instructing the younger, and by extension, all ministers, grow in godliness and so be an example to God's church so that all people will be encouraged to grow in the same. So verse 12 there, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. This morning our focus is faith. Timothy, ministers, grow in godliness, setting an example in faith. Now, because godliness, we sort of naturally think, I think rightly, that it's an outward sort of thing, godliness, a God-devoted life that you see in practice. It's strange then that Timothy is instructed to be an example in faith, which is a sort of a inward conviction more than that sort of outward. Be an example in faith, in believing. It can sound strange. Like it says, set the believers an example. Don't they already believe? Do they actually need an example of what to do to believe? And for another thing, it's strange that isn't Timothy the minister? Shouldn't he? Like, isn't it expected that he'll believe? He's only a minister after all. Now, one way to resolve the strangeness here is to interpret that word faith to mean faithful. Set the example by being faithful. That is, by being reliable, consistent, trustworthy. And that fits with the qualities that we just touched on last week, chapter 3, demanded of Christian ministers. One of the leading qualities of an overseer is that he's blameless, and the very next is faithful. And certainly because God is faithful, we're right to expect the same of God's people and especially of God's ministers. I expect this of myself as a Christian and as your minister. And I encourage you to be people of your word, doing what you say, faithful. But I think Paul means more than that here. I think he means more than faithful. He says, set the example in faith. Okay, so what does that mean? How do we see that in practice as an example? How does exemplary faith help us grow in godliness? Exemplary faith is what's being held out to us here as what we need to grow in godliness. So to help us grasp what's going on here, I've got four headings, like four sort of steps that build one on each other. I've listed them in our news sheet there. They've all got the word faith in them. Faith is the first. Exemplary faith, second. Needed exemplary faith, third. Help for exemplary faith, fourth. Let me step us through these. I'm going to spend most of the time actually on one and two. Faith. What is faith? In our day, faith is a vague word. But in the Bible, it's not vague at all. It's so clear. It means trust in God's truth. The opening verses to our letter actually show us this in practice. If you've got a Bible there, 1 Timothy chapter 1 shows us what faith looks like. Two aspects. In verse 2, Paul calls Timothy my true son in the faith. Notice the word the. Faith here is something not just personal. It's bigger than that. It's objective. It's universal. It's always real. It's always true. What's the faith we're talking about? It means that God, the truth of God, he is the true and living God. The faith is what we believe when we come to trust God. We just sing about it. And whether people deny or reject the faith, or whether they accept it gladly, doesn't matter. It's objectively true. It remains true, whatever people say or think or do in relation to it. Well, Timothy's received Christ. And as such, and as you've received Christ, you're a child of the faith. But then we get, so that's the objective side. Then in verse 5, we get the subjective, the personal side. Have a look there, where it's talking in contrast to listening to myths. Timothy's to promote the faith, which helps advance God's work. And God's work advances by faith, that is, by people trusting God to be true. The great Anglican theologian, W.H. Griffith Thomas, he talks about faith. Here's a definition for you. Trust answering to truth. Great definition. Our trust answering to God's truth. And agreeing with him, another writer says, actually, do you know, trusting God is the very thing he wants from us. The central thing, the main response a person can make, the very response God invites, calls for, demands, trust me. Don't be afraid to trust me, Jesus says. Faith is the central response that any person can make. Do you trust him? He wants you to trust. He wants us as a church to trust him. To trust him who is true, who is living, who is good, who is gracious. Now, I take it most of that's not new to us. What's noticeable as we read on in this letter and as we read on in the next letter too, is that faith is something that requires, well, the word he uses here is fight. Fight the good fight of the faith, Timothy. We heard fight the battle, which means fight the battle for faith. And it's not hard as we think about that. Why is faith something? If faith is trust answering to truth, what's the fight involved? Oh, it's actually not hard to understand. The truth is always under fire, whether from without or within. And trust, our trust is always being squeezed and pushed and sidelined. Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. And trust that's under fire and truth that's always being squeezed is not only being kind of pressured like that from outside. Sadly, sometimes it even happens from within. A decade ago, I heard of a bishop over in Perth, denying the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Did he really rise with a body, was the kind of comment made. He was risen spiritually in people's hearts, was the suggestion. Gosh. Ministers, sadly, can reject the truth. Fight for the truth. Ministers, sadly, can stop short of it, urging God's people to keep trusting the truth. We've got to keep doing that. Faith is trusting God's truth, and we're to fight for it as part of our growing in godliness. So to get practical for a second, if you hear me raising questions about central matters of the faith, like we've just sung about central matters of the faith, that God is our creator, Christ is risen from the dead and returning. If you hear me raising questions about any of those things, let's talk. We can't have that. Or if we never talk about the challenging parts of our faith, That sin will lead us, will cause us to fall over, that the devil is real, that the judgment is coming, that hell is real and to be avoided. If we never touch on it, please let's talk. We've got to keep holding to the truth that God gives us, which is good for us. And not only hold to the truth and know it, but trust it. If we don't as a church trust God's truth, exercise our faith in him who is good. If you hear me going soft on some of these things, we've got to talk. If we stop sort of suggesting that we need to walk in repentance, if we stop suggesting that we need to be gracious and hospitable with one another, if we stop growing in godliness, that'll undo us as a church. We ought not to do that. We need to keep fighting the good fight of the faith. Our trust in God's truth. truth answering, trust answering to truth. Well, that's first, the faith. What is the faith? Trust answering to truth. Let's go second, exemplary faith. Where do we see faith? Well, can faith ever be seen? It's a conviction, isn't it? It's a thing that you do inside. You believe, you trust. Is it something that can be seen? It is true that people wear their convictions on their sleeve. Some people put a sticker on their car. Other people actually wear their colours with a leather jacket, don't they? The bikers wear their colours. I think Paul's suggesting more than any of those things. How does he expect faith to be exemplary, seen, practiced? How does a Christian show their faith? From what we've covered in the New Testament elsewhere, I think we can say at least two things, namely active works and prayerful trust. Let's think about each of those briefly. Active works. The Christian faith that's active always leads to good works. James says exactly that. Faith without works, well, what kind of faith is that? It's a dead faith. A faith, active, real, lively faith in the Lord Jesus Christ always leads to lively, good works. And Paul here agrees as he instructs Timothy, let your faith be seen. I want to suggest to you the implication being, show your faith in your good works that follow faith. Again, to get practical, that means that as the minister, you should see in me faith expressing itself in works. The godly life we want from our leaders is the godly life we hope for our members. And that means a life of trusting in the Lord Jesus that results in good works. What kind of good works? What sort of good works? What categories of good works? Well, I just think to the Ten Commandments as one example. Good works of love for God and love for neighbour. Works that honour God. Works that serve God alone and not other gods. Works that obey God rather than serving self. Works that reverence the name of Jesus. Works that practice putting his word in life. Works of love for God's people. Works of generosity, of service. Works of hospitality. Works of... works of saying sorry and showing repentance. Even that is a work that follows faith. Works of care, works of prayer, works of commending Jesus Christ to everyone. Faith works in works like these. Are they active in our church? Do you know one of the wonderful things Jackson and Annalise were such a gift to us, not only in that they opened the Bible to us, but they opened their home to so many of us. Hospitality like that, such a gift to receive. What a great example they set for us. How do you see exemplary faith? In a life of active works. And next, in a life of prayerful trust. If you were to ask me how my prayers changed in the last 12 months, one way is that I'm now expressing to God more and more my trust for our church. I'm praying for each of us by name. I'm praying for our mission and our ministry. I'm praying for other churches and so on. But I'm praying, God, I trust you for our church. Rather than foolishly think I have the capacity to solve the next challenge, all challenges, whatever. Actually, I'm noticing my inability. And our need to trust God for our life and our future. Let me give you an example. I was away on study leave last year, a number of you know, 3 months. And when I was away, dear Adrian Mertens took a bad turn ahead of her death. I thought I should come back. Forget leave, I'll come back and minister to Adrian and her family and so on. But I had a meeting with the vestry and she was on it. And I had her words ringing in my ears. She said to me, Mark, you're not to interrupt your leave. Trust God. Leave things in the capable hands of our church, Mark. So even as I'm on the phone to Graham, as she's just days away from passing away, desperate to be back here, but my prayer was, God, I trust you for our church. That remains my prayer as we look ahead to the year ahead. I trust you, God, to provide what's needed for our life, our ministry, our mission. I trust you for our church. Oh, I think that's what it practically means to live by faith. Oh, I don't know the future, God, you do. So I trust what you provide for today and for tomorrow. Do you pray a prayer like that? God, I trust you. Do you pray things like, I trust you for our life as a family. I trust you for our situation through these trials. I trust you for my wayward family member. Please, God, intervene with mercy. Save them ahead of the judgment. I trust you for them. Do you pray a prayer like that? I'm praying prayers like that, including for our church. So I trust God for our mission, for our life. I trust him through our trials. Set the example in faith, I think at least means in active works and in prayerful trust. Let's go to the third heading. Why this exemplary faith is needed. Why is this important for us to hear? We might think faith is just some automatic, easy thing. I've got faith, that's it, I'm fine, I'm sorted. But actually, the fight for faith alerts us to the need to hear this instruction and the need that we have to be practicing an exemplary faith. And in part, that's because of Hymenaeus and Alexander. They've ignored their conscience, ignored the scriptures, and abandoned the faith. In chapter 5 and 6, there are people who withhold love and they're said to deny the faith. But I actually want to just draw our attention to one verse, and that's chapter 4, 1 to 3. And that is to say that here we learn there are spiritual forces seeking to destroy your faith. It's really stark. The Spirit says in later times some will abandon the faith. Why? What will cause people to do that? By following deceiving spirits, things taught by demons. Who would believe demons and deceiving spirits? Oh, but it says, actually, it'll just come through hypocritical liars who teach stuff about sex and marriage and food. Oh, we're so easily tricked, sucked into believing lies, not realizing, here's someone seeking to destroy faith. Oh, how we need faith modeled, practiced, lived out amongst us as a church, that we might continue to do the same. I need you to keep believing to help me, and you need me to keep believing to help you. This is an altogether thing. We need to have faith at work being practiced, that we might continue firm in faith to the end. I should just say, if you think I've stopped believing something from the scriptures, if you think I've stopped advocating things that the Bible teaches, let's talk. We can't have that. If you think I'm now teaching things that go beyond, sometimes Christians can teach things that go beyond the scriptures. We ought not to do that either. Let's talk. We want to be those who model and practice the faith that we've received from God through his word. We need this. We need this exemplary faith. Fourth and finally, really briefly, as we close, how does God provide for us here? I've really emphasised our response this morning as we think about, because it says there, train yourself to be godly. I just want to finish with the point that the Christian life is not something that's too hard, too high, too beyond us. I've had a conversation recently where someone said, you wouldn't like to talk to me if you looked into my life and all that I've done and said, and I couldn't be a Christian, was the sort of suggestion. Not true. The Christian life is for anyone to live, because failure doesn't keep us from God. In joining us by faith to Christ, God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. He forgives us when we fall. He helps us stand and keep walking with Christ. He gives us his word to guide and encourage. He gives ministers to model the faith. He gives his people to walk alongside and support. God provides for us that we might keep walking by faith. Oh, how we need to do that. Will you join me in doing that? Join me in continuing to trust God and his wonderful truth. Continue to fight for that truth and fight for our trust. And that will look like joining me in active works and prayerful trust. Continuing through failure. And so join me in this, that we'll grow in godliness as a church. For godliness has value not only in the present life, but for the life to come. What a great thing to be growing in. Let's pray. I'll just pause for a moment, give you a chance to think and consider, and then I'll lead us in a short prayer. Fight the good fight of the faith. Heavenly Father, please help us to keep trusting you, the true, the living, the only, the wonderful God, and the truth that Jesus Christ is our Saviour, our only mediator and Lord, the one that saves us, the one that we'll meet when he returns. Help us to keep trusting in him. And please, by your Spirit, stir up in us the good works that follow our faith. Help us to know what the good work is for today and tomorrow and the week ahead. Help us to be walking in them. Father, where we err, where we swerve, where we hold back, please would you encourage us, spur us on, give us what we need. And please, God, in this, grow us as a church in godliness, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.